Nothing in this show should be considered legal, medical, financial, or investment advice. Information presented is from internet or other news sources. Always do your own research and due diligence. We're not responsible for and expressly disclaim all liability for damages of any kind arising out of use, reference to, or reliance on any information contained in this broadcast.
Hey, everybody, welcome to Money and Change right here on the Trim Radio Network, better known as trimradio.com. Yeah, and I'll tell you what, it's Sunday. There's a lot of stuff going on. We're going to talk a little bit about housing. And we've got different videos to take a look at. And remember, I always said, don't get involved with Bitcoin. It took a big tumble. So we'll talk a little bit about that today, too. Among other things. And I'll tell you what, if you go to our Facebook page, it's Money and Change / Financially Prepped, and you look in the comments section for today's show, you will see all the topics that we're covering. But before we have to do that, we've got to talk about Trim Radio, because if I don't do that, somebody's going to get irritated, and we don't want that to happen. So let's get into the Trim Radio Network, and we'll talk a little bit about that. Here's the brain trust of the Trim Radio Network, the Fab Four. We've got Michael Bejas. Michael Bejas, founder and CEO. He's responsible for the overall vision, mission, leadership, and performance of the entire group. And we've got Raskala Stefan, and he's the Chief Operating Officer and Computer Guru. He's responsible for the day-to-day operational management and the network, ensuring efficiency and quality. And then there's me. I guess I'm the chief relationship officer, whatever that is. I guess I'm supposed to make people happy. Well, I hope you do like us and you promote us, because we have all original shows and original presenters. And we cut the bull and serve the truth. That's the motto of the whole shebang right here on the Trim Radio Network. We also have Victoria Smith, and she's the Chief Operating Officer. She's responsible for all the marketing activities, brand development, audience growth, and creator acquisition strategies. So if you have a business, or a college, or university, or a high school, junior high, elementary, club, sorority, fraternity, whatever, and you want marketing advice, get a hold of Victoria Smith. Very easy to do. And I'll tell you what, it's so easy to do. There's a red button over here on the right side. And all you have to do is click on that button. And it says, how can we help you today? Put in your name, your phone number, and where it says, I want to know more about joining Money and Change. Or, I want to know more about doing my own show on trimradio.com. All you have to do is just fill that out and click on send the message, and somebody will get right back with you. And if you want to advertise on the Trim Radio Network, all you have to do is I want to know more about advertising. That's all you have to do. Just let us know, and we'll walk you right through the whole shebang, as they say. But anyhow, that's how we do it. Okay? So that's our Fab Four, and Victoria Smith is our marketing expert. Okay, we have different shows. We've got Money and Change, which is generally live every Sunday at 7 p.m., unless I have to play a concert. And I guess I've got one more concert coming up, and I'll have three more to go after that. And then I'm done for the season. And yes, I am a musician, among other things. So when I have to play a concert, usually it's at the time that we're doing the show. So we'll have encore editions, which means replays. Okay, and we'll have those posted. Now, let's say you want to watch the show. You can do it live like you're doing now, or you could wait and we'll post up to something called YouTube or Rumble. And I'll tell you what, with YouTube, the show will be posted up there within probably 30 seconds after the show has aired. I will copy the link and put it in the trimradio.com pages and Facebook. And we'll even have a link where you can click on and watch the show on Facebook. Now, with Rumble, it appears the next day. So it gives you time to get ready to Rumble, if you know what I mean. So that's how we work this show. So Money and Change is every Sunday at 7 p.m. We have Life Walk with Christ God. That's on Wednesdays. And that's with Michael Bejas. Wednesdays at 7 p.m. And then at 8 p.m., we have My World, Live, Laugh, and Whatever. And there we're going to have more than likely some interviews, and we will have some comedy. So you want to check into that show on Wednesday nights at 8 p.m. Tell your friends about us too. We've got the Natural Marketer podcast with Victoria Smith every Thursday. We have Offsides College Football Top 25 with Michael Bejas and friends. And then we also have the Positude podcast every 8 p.m. on Friday. Then we have Nature Waits Around the Bend, 1 o'clock on Saturdays. At 1:30, we have Ranch It Up with Tigger and Beck. You've got to check that show out. We also have the Red Pill Reality Show Saturday night from 9 till midnight. And Rascala has on guests, different shows. I'll tell you what, it's fun. I've watched that show for a long time, and I'll tell you what, I've been on the show, and it's a fun time. Okay, check it out. Red Pill Reality Show every Saturday at 9 p.m. Also, we have Let's Talk About It with Dora Sherry, and she's on Tuesday evenings. And then you want to check out Revelation with Peter Kling, and he's on Thursday evenings. Yeah, Revelation with Peter Kling. I've known Peter for a long time. I've known Dora for quite a while. Oh, I've known Michael for quite a while, Rascala for quite a while, and I've known Victoria since she's been working with our group. I'll put it that way. Now, how do you support us? Because airtime isn't cheap. You can either buy the merchandise, and we'll go there in a minute. You can advertise. We have very good advertising rates. Also, you can donate. Okay? Very easy to do. And if you take a look here, we'll take a look at the collectibles. And if you shop there, of course, the four magic boxes pop up. But we have t-shirts, we have hats, we have mugs turned the wrong way, but we have them. We have the Money and Change t-shirt, we have the Money and Change travel mug with handle. That is a good mug, it really is. And it has a nice top on it and keeps your beverages from spilling. Okay, it's a good travel mug. We also have our ceramic mugs. We have our Offsides College Football Top 25 Premium Piqué Polo shirts. We have our Offsides College Football Top 25 Unisex Garment Dyed Heavyweight T-shirt. And then we go on. We have Offsides Top 25 T-shirts for kids. We've got mugs. We've got more mugs. We have more adult t-shirts. We have the round mouse pad. You can't corner your mouse on a round mouse pad. We have the Trim Creator Dad's hat. We have the little ceramic ornament that you can hang from your, well, rearview mirror. Or you can hang it on a Christmas tree. We don't care, but it's there to hang. Okay, we've got the Trim Creators embroidered beanie if you're in cold climate. And for all of our friends down in South America, I know it's starting to get cold down there. So you may need one of our beanies. So go to our shop and buy some. We also have our Trim Creator rubber case for AirPods. You know, you have AirPods laying around and you forget where they are. Well, get one of the cases and put your AirPods in there. So you can donate to keep us on the air. You can advertise or you can buy the merch, as Michael says. Now, I'll tell you what. We have our Facebook page. And it looks like this. Anybody can join. It's very easy to do. And if you want to join, let me know. And I'll go ahead and send you an invitation. And you get an update about everything that's going on, plus other videos that are going to occur. Okay? And what we have here, oh, that looks kind of like me, except one thing. The person that designed this, and it wasn't me, I can blame it on AI, I guess. Put a wedding ring on me. Why? I don't know. But anyhow, all you single gals, hey, give me a call. Anyhow. At the bottom of that, we have what we're going to talk about tonight. Not necessarily in order, but the information is there about housing is shelter or housing is just another asset. Average American monthly mortgage payment, where it's hard to afford a home. Stop overpaying. 10 free habits to cut your energy bills by 25%. You know it's getting hot out there. Right now in Western Ohio, where I live, it is 87 degrees. And it feels like it's about 90. Oh, what's a few degrees among friends, right? Okay, we've also got where electric prices jumped the most in America. And we have short-term Bitcoin holders. Oh, I'll talk about that. We've got a video on that too. And breaking down my $306,500 salary. And he lives in San Francisco. Now, we won't get to that one because it's about a 16-minute video. We don't have time for that. But it's listed there so you can click on it and watch it. Imagine $306,500 a year, and I think he brings in about $4,000 or $5,000 a month. That's kind of rough. So anyhow, you can see that. Also, our past shows, other information, all contracts with these entities are void. AB initio, I guess, or nicio, whatever it is. Just pay your bills, stop asking questions, and sign the paperwork. Don't trust the system. Read everything. When in doubt, talk to a lawyer, okay? And then here you can click on last week's show and farther back. Okay, we've got all kinds of stuff. And it's right here on our Facebook page. It's free to join. And you'll get a notice when we're going to be doing a show, whether it's live or it's going to be an encore show, okay? Very easy to do. Check us out. Donate to keep us on the air. Tell your friends about us. Wow, getting into things right off of the bat this time. Choose one. Housing is shelter or housing is just another asset in a bubble economy. You know, some people like to live in a place and they want to say, it's my shelter. I'm going to live there for quite a while. But then you have people that say, well, I'll buy a place, fix it up, and I'll turn it over. I'll just go ahead and sell the house, make more money on it if I can. And some people will say, well, it's just an asset. And we use it so long and then we get rid of it. And hopefully we make a profit on everything. And the way the price of houses are going right now, the cost of houses are going up. Why? Well, we've got inflation. And that's why they're going high. Well, anyhow, this came from Charles Hugh Smith of Two Minds. And he said this will get massive pushback because it's true. Either housing or shelter or housing is just another asset in a bubble economy. It can't be both, according to Smith. This reality gets pushed back because the conversion of housing from shelter into just another asset bubbling higher in a bubble-dependent economy has been so profitable for those inflating the bubble. You take a look at housing in Canada. What might cost here $300,000, $400,000 would be $1 million in Canada. You've seen a lot of the different home improvement shows. The other day I saw one, people were going to buy a house and their budget was $5 million and they were in the Bahamas. And I thought, $5 million. I mean, who has that? Obviously, he must have done very well in the business world to have $5 million home right on the beach in a hurricane-prone area. But anyhow, then there was another couple that wanted to buy another house, and it was down in the Dominican Republic. And it was for $2 million. And I'm thinking, oh my goodness. $2 million? I mean, I live in a nice ranch home, but it's not $2 million. Wow. There's a housing bubble, I think, that's probably going to burst. It's just my gut feeling. Well, anyhow, Smith goes on to say, the basic pushback goes like this: housing has always been an investment. Nothing has changed. This is classic misdirection. It's like saying stock market options have always been a way of hedge positions to justify transitions from hedging to extremes of gambling. And you could buy a small ranch house for maybe $100,000. Be a very nice one, and you could fix it up a little bit, probably sell it for maybe 175,000, 175,000 to maybe 200,000, and get something else and start fixing up and selling up and getting up into the $300,000, $400,000, $500,000 homes. Think of the interest. My home was paid off close to 15 years ago. I owe nothing on the home. I own my car, so I don't have to pay anything on it. And it's a nice Buick. And I have money that I can go ahead and put into CDs, even though they're not paying much, or other investments. Or I can have cash on hand to go to different places for vacation. I can do that. But I don't have a big mortgage over my head. And a lot of people are getting into a big mortgage situation. I have a friend of mine whose one daughter is moving to Cleveland area, and her hubby-to-be is going to go into dental school. He's going to be in dental school for 4 years. And she's going to be teaching. And are they going to get a house? Yes. Are they going to pay a lot of money for it? I don't know. Living in Cleveland is a little bit more expensive than living where I'm living, okay? I know, I've been in Cleveland before. Parts of it are very nice. But here they're going to have probably a mortgage right off the bat. And that's like stepping off into the deep water, if you know what I mean. Unless he's going to use it as an investment, and that could probably happen. The problem with different claims, they're based on completely fraudulent, inaccurate statistics. And you have to take a look at, housing is being hoarded by, wealthy corporations or low-risk assets to park credit-generated capital. You get pushback on that. And sometimes, I get a lot of calls from people, "Oh, do you want to sell your house?" Yeah. And they perk up, and I'll say, "Starting bid is 3 million." Click. And a week later, they'll call back again. "Hi, we pay cash for houses. Do you want to sell your house?" Yeah. How much? 4 million starting price. Bids are going up. Click. I like to play games on that. I like my house. I like where I'm at. I like my neighbors. I don't think I want to sell. But there are people out there trying to buy homes. Why? They're speculating. And I hate those calls. They're cold calls. I hate them, hate them, hate them. So, you take owner-occupied fraud mortgage performance, you get that in Philadelphia and you get it other places. And occupancy fraud has been suggested as a contributor to the housing bubble. Yeah, probably is. In other words, even the most cursory audits find significant percentages of owner-occupied housing is vacant, most or all the time, or is unregistered short-term vacation rental. You have that too, especially in Florida. And you have bed and breakfasts. I've never stayed at a bed and breakfast. I don't know if I want to. Who knows? You run into some situations, for example, cities with rent control, according to Smith here, such as San Francisco and New York, have renters who keep their low-cost flat vacant while living abroad. Maybe it's a tax write-off. I don't know. I mean, I think I would want to live there. And if I went on vacation, then I went on vacation. Well, the monetary policies of suppressing interest rates and expanding credit have favored the wealthy who have the income to support added mortgage and the need to park their expanding capital money someplace. I don't know about you, but I don't have capital to park someplace. I can live comfortably, but I don't have the money to park it someplace in a property, because you're still going to have to pay property tax. More than likely, you're still going to pay utilities on it. It's a waste of money if I'm not using it, right? I don't know about you, but that's the way I look at it. So you can take a look at this on our Facebook page, Money and Change. You just click on the article, okay? When you take a look at different things like average monthly mortgage payment tops $2,000 for the first time ever. Wow, I don't know about you, but the mortgages on those homes, like I said, in the Bahamas, you're looking at $6,000 a month and up. My mortgage was never more than $1,900 in 15 for 15 years. And I paid it off in 15 years. That's the good part. And you keep the property up. And your value is there. So I've basically made money by paying my mortgage off early instead of 30 years. A lot of people say, no, I'll just take it 30 years. It's a less amount of mortgage. Well, if you want to do that, but I paid mine off in 15 and I'm very happy. Well, Mike Snyder at the Economic Collapse blog, I've talked about him before. He's saying the US households are being financially squeezed at a level that we've never seen before. And he said that we are in a long-term cost of living crisis that never seems to end, and it's not an exaggeration. Just about everyone has been getting more expensive in recent years. Okay, everything's been getting more expensive. And as a result of standard living, it's been going down because the costs of going are going up. How much take-home money do you have after you've paid off all your bills, purchased your food, purchased your gasoline to go to and from work and so forth, paid for your insurance? What do you have left for a net profit? If you want to call it a profit and loss statement, yeah, you get the gross sum in and you have a net. What do you have left over after you've paid off all your bills and everything? And some people say, well, I have an extra $200 a week. Well, why not put $100 in a week in a special emergency fund? Or maybe just $50 a week into that emergency fund. You know, I've told people, for, I don't know, probably 15 years, pay down your debt. Get debt free as soon as you can. Put some money aside, set up that emergency savings account, and don't touch it. And that way, if your car needs something fixed or you need emergency lodging or you need extra food, clothing, whatever, it's there, but it's an emergency fund. It's only to be used as an emergency fund. Okay. So pay down your debt. Put some money aside, buy some long-term food, canned food, freeze-dried, whatever. And some people say, well, maybe that's only going to be for 3 months. Well, if it's longer than that, let's just say the banks have a big, bad problem, if you know what I mean. You better be prepared for at least 6 months to a year. And freeze-dried food will help. It's expensive, but it will help. Canned food and boxed food, you can go to the grocery store and get canned goods. And if they have a dent or they have their top bubbles a little bit, you don't use them. You have to throw them away. Other than that, canned goods kept indoors and in a reasonable atmosphere will last for quite a long time. So pay down your debt, put some money aside, buy some long-term food, be able to purify and store water. Water crisis, they have them out west. And some people have to buy bottled water by the gallon or 5 gallons. In some cases, they have to have it trucked in. Make sure you have your medications. Make sure you have batteries for your flashlights. I always tell people about GMRS radios, okay? And we'll get back to this one in a second, but people say, well, what do you mean about GMRS radios? Right here is an Ocean 935G Plus, and it's a Nagoya 771 antenna. I can talk to somebody in Dayton, Ohio, 35 miles away, to a repeater. I can go from there 90 miles out. And if I have to talk for an emergency purposes, I have it. And anybody in my immediate family can use the call sign. They can use the radio. And it's great. Okay. So that's a GMRS radio. It's a license for $35, gets you 10 years. Okay. It gets you 10 years of usage. It's a good thing to have, believe it or not, in an emergency. Even if you go camping, they're great to have. Well, let's get back to sharing the screen again because we need to. Anyhow, getting back to this, you notice that we have the monthly mortgage payment, health insurance, and everything else. Can people get by? You know, they still want to go out and they still want to spend money to take the kids out to maybe ice cream. They want to go out and eat 3 times a week or whatever. I'll call out for a pizza several times a week. I'll tell you what. That's why our cost of living has gone way up. It's because the inflation rate is going up. It's costing more. Okay. So you can read more of this in Money and Change / Financially Prepped because that article is there. Okay. Where's the hardest, where it's hardest to afford a home? Okay. Big cities like Hong Kong and Los Angeles. Who's going to go there? Well, some might. But they're well known for their expensive real estate markets. And there are also plenty of housing markets you wouldn't necessarily expect among the least affordable, like Australia, New Zealand, and Canada. And as statistics Tristan Gaudio details below, according to a 2026 ranking of Forbes, Hong Kong remains the world's least affordable housing market, with median home prices still more than 16 times higher than median pre-tax households incomes. Wow. Can you imagine that? 16 times higher? Well, you can check out the rest of the story on our Facebook page. Now, for a video about 10 free habits to cut your energy bills by 25%. Listen to this. Get your paper and pencil out and take some notes.
Save money. Now, no explanation needed why this is a hot topic at the moment. In this video, I'm going to share some simple steps that you can put into action today to start lowering your bills straight away. No investment needed. You don't need to go out and spend money to save money. You can just get saving immediately. I'm also going to call out a few dubious hacks that are doing the rounds at the moment that claim to be able to save you money on your utility bills that may actually store up problems for you in the long run. So you want to watch out for those. Now, if you like this kind of content, then please do subscribe to my channel. I regularly post handy home hacks and advice, and I'd love to have you as a subscriber. Now, the first couple of tips might sound pretty obvious, but there's a couple of things that you might not have thought about around these topics. And the first one is turn everything off standby. Now, okay, by now, most people should have thought about this, at least for saving money on their utility bills. But what you might not realize is quite how much money it can save and how many devices you might have in your home that are sitting on standby, idling. They're like vampire devices, sucking electricity out, costing you money when you're not using them. So that includes your TV, your laptop, things like your iPad, your games consoles, your mobile phone. There could be multiple things in multiple rooms that are just costing you money when they're not even in use. So go around, do a bit of an audit, work out what's on, what's not. Also, check whether or not you've got things plugged in all the time and they don't need to be when they're fully charged, because that will still be draining your electricity and it's also a fire hazard. Next up, we've got turning the lights off in rooms where you're not using them. Another one that might seem obvious, but a few things you might not have thought about around this topic. First of all, is that some lights are also running other things like extractors, so the controls are running two things at once. So if you're leaving a light on in a bathroom that's also running an extractor fan for longer than you need to, that would be costing you extra. So be extra vigilant about turning those off. And also just do a little bit of an audit about where you're using lights, whether or not you all need to be sat in different rooms in your house using lights at the same time, or could you be sat in the same room doing all of those activities? You could turn off multiple lights just by doing that. And hey, it might be a social opportunity as well. And also things like, do you have a night light on that you leave on all night? Maybe this is something that suited your family or your home, you know, a few years ago, but perhaps people don't want that light on anymore or don't need it on anymore. So work out if you're doing things like that, whether or not you still need to even do them. And if you do, I promise you that you didn't need to go out and buy gadgets to save money, but something to consider might be getting an LED plug-in light that will use less electricity than your normal light possibly. And you could use that as an option instead. So just have a little think about that topic. Next up, anyone with an electricity meter will tell you that the humble kettle is responsible for huge spikes in your electricity use. And you might not really think that because it's so small and so innocent looking. But actually, it accounts for something like 6% of the energy use that we use in households in the Britain. You know, we're all a big nation of tea lovers and coffee lovers. So we're switching that kettle on and off all day. That's a simple area where you can make quick savings just by not filling it more than you need to. You could even boil it at the beginning of the day and fill up a thermos flask, and that's your water for the day, because that avoids that temptation of keep turning it on and off again and reboiling the same water over and over again. You just need to boil it once that way. So definitely an area where you've got good potential savings. Also, on a similar vein, make sure that your kettle is clean. If you live in a hard water area, all that limescale can actually make your kettle, well, first of all, it can make your tea taste disgusting, but it can also make your kettle less efficient. So a regular cleanup, I've got a video on how you can do that very simply, which I will post down below, will also pay dividends. And while we're on the subject of cleaning, one of my favourite topics, keeping your oven clean. Now, this can actually pay dividends as well. Keep your oven clean and clear of debris. It will run more efficiently. Also, avoid the temptation to store all your trays in there, or if you do so, make sure you take them out before you start cooking. Because if you've got an oven full of trays, that's going to stop the air flowing properly in your oven, which is going to make it less efficient and cost you more money. So a simple discipline when you use the oven of keeping it clean and keeping it clear will make it more efficient and cost less to run. Also, if it's safe to do so, when you finish using your oven for cooking, open it up and let that heat radiate out into the room. Make the most of that as well, rather than it just disappearing unused. And this brings me on to the issue of radiators. If you've got your heating on and you're tempted to just crank that thermostat up a bit because it's not warm enough in your rooms, think about whether or not that heat that your radiators are generating is actually able to circulate around your room. If you've got furniture in front of your radiators, then it probably isn't going to be. So you're not actually getting the full value of that radiator. So have a rearrange of the furniture, even if it just means putting your sofa a couple of inches away from the radiator. Let that air flow first before you think about turning the heating up. Now, we're on to the one that is the biggest challenge in my house with three kids and five of us, but it's actually the one where there's huge, huge potentials for saving. And this is being mindful about your washing. Now, it's very tempting, and I am guilty of it in the past, at the end of the day, just for ease, to sweep up all that washing that's lying around on the floor in various rooms, shove it all in the washing machine, and then dry it, because that's just kind of a convenient sorting way, right, rather than having to actually look through every item. Anyway, it wastes a huge amount. We do a massive amount more washing than we have to, and that costs us a lot of money. So now in our house, we like to keep things simple. We've got two washing baskets, one's for clothes that are absolutely filthy and definitely need to go in the washing machine. I'm talking like wet, muddy, soggy socks from football matches, that kind of gear. And the other stuff where people aren't so sure. So I'm not expecting my kids to make their call about whether or not something needs to be washed. But if they're not certain, put it in that basket, we'll have a look through. Sometimes there's just a little stain on something that can be sponged out, or it can be even hung out in the garden on a nice day to air. That's a good way of getting rid of those airborne odours, things like smoke or bonfire smoke, perhaps this time of year, something to think about. Put them out there. That's free. That's cheap. That'll freshen them up for you without you having to actually put them through that whole cycle of washing and drying. Definitely going to cost you less money. Also, there's a setting on most tumble dryers, if you have one and you're in mind to use it, that actually requires no heat and will just give your clothes a bit of an airing, basically, and spin them around. So consider using that to freshen things up that haven't been worn too long and that aren't really, really dirty. And you might get another few wears out of them without having to actually wash them. Another washing related tip is choose your clothing carefully. While prices are sky high, you might want to pick the items out of your wardrobe that are actually easier and quicker to wash and dry. So polyester tops the list in terms of materials that dry really quickly, but there's others on the market. My kids wear a lot of the undergarments for things like football, and they're made of the fast wicking materials, and they dry really easily. In fact, they even come out of the washing machine practically dry. So if they're wearing things like that, that requires a lot less effort and resources to get them clean and dry. Have a look through your wardrobe, pick those items out, some of them available cheap to buy as well, and you may find that saves you some money on your washing. Now, this is probably the most controversial tip, and I'm not advocating not washing at all. I'll say that straight up. But there's definitely, definitely savings to be made in most households around how much time you spend in the shower and the bath. Do you need a full shower or bath every day if that's what you're in the current habit of doing? Or could you wash with a flannel and some water, or even just using the shower hose to wash essential parts of your body? The good news is that you don't actually need to wash every day. And if you spend a lot of time, particularly in hot water, that can irritate your skin, that can invite infections in, and it's not actually the healthiest practice anyway. So it's not a bad thing to start knocking out some of those showers or baths and limiting the amount. The other thing, of course, which is pretty obvious, but it's just time, how long you spend in them. And you may think you spend less than you do, particularly kids, they'll easily while away the hours standing in the hot shower. Hard to get them in there, hard to get them out, you know the drill. But if you start timing people, maybe if you just produce some data and look at what you're doing, you could probably quite easily cut that in half without too much effort, just by everyone being mindful. So don't avoid it. We hope that you found this video useful. If you did, give it a thumbs up. Please do subscribe. Please come back very soon. And if you've got your own tips cutting your utility bills, then please do share them in the comments down below. That's all for today, though. Thanks for watching. Bye-bye.
Hey, I hope you learned something there. Speaking of that, electricity price growth, you know, with these data centers that are coming up, and there's a lot of talk about it, pros and cons. Well, the electricity prices are starting to go up. Now, electricity prices are becoming one of the most fastest rising household expenses in parts of the United States. Using data from the U.S. Energy Information Administration, the EIA, this map from the visual capitalist Dorothy Neufeld shows how residential electricity prices changed across all 50 states this past year. And there they are. Here in Ohio, our prices went up 17%. If you're in Pennsylvania, they went up 14%. West Virginia, 3%. Kentucky, 13%. Texas, 7%. New Mexico, 0%. Arizona, 3%. Why? It's not hot. And they get a lot more light, right? I guess. Then there's California. And Nevada and Oregon, they saved a little bit. Washington was 14%. Now, D.C. isn't a state, but they went up 23%. Florida, they went down 1%. Louisiana went up 8%. And then you go up into New Hampshire. it's plus 18% up. So you can see the price of electricity is going up. Here in Ohio, basically we have electric homes and we have air conditioning. So right now the air conditioning is on. And with everything being almost 90 degrees outside, you better believe my air conditioning is on. And I can't wait to see that bill. Actually, I could wait to see the bill. But air conditioning is essential. I remember growing up, all we had was one big fan for the whole house. And then eventually we got air conditioning. And it was great. I couldn't live without it. But electricity prices are going to grow. Why? Inflation. And it costs money to dig the coal to run the plants. It costs money to buy the transformers. It costs money to buy the wire. We have higher wages. I mean, that's what's causing a lot of this. Okay, so electricity price growth is there. Hey, you didn't think I was going to stop and not talk about the University of Findlay. This lady graduated from the University of Findlay, and she has won, I believe, Gabby Woods goes back-to-back and wins Ohio Women's Open. It's like twice. Yeah. And that's Gabby. And also, if you take a look at some of the other stuff that's going on with the University of Findlay, oh, there's so much going on. There really is. I'm trying to get used to the way that this is set up now. But anyhow, that's Gabby. Academic All-District Baseball at the University of Findlay. The director of tennis resigns. He retired. Did a very good job while he was there. Cameron Pickerel was assistant women's basketball coach, the new one. And we have three All-Americans. They're golfers. Yeah. The golf team has done very, very, very well. So we had three All-Americans there. The University of Findlay has some very good sports, very loyal fans. It's a Division II NCAA school, okay? Check them out. And if your son or daughter wants to go to school there, it's a good school. It really is. I can't say enough about it. Not only did I go there, but I knew a lot of people that went there that were very, very, very successful. Matter of fact, one of the guys I went to school with, he ended up being the chairman of the board of Ford Motor Company. Another one ended up being the assistant secretary, undersecretary in the country of Kenya. We had a lot of international students. A lot of students did very well. They ended up in CEO positions, CFO positions later life, and did very well. University Findlay, very good education, very good staff. Dr. Kathy Fell has retired, and we have a new president coming in, and we'll talk more about him next show. Wow, let's look at the debt clock, usdebtclock.org. And these are real-time numbers. National debt, $39,222,855,000,000 and climbing. Now it's 856. And that's $114,026 per citizen. And the debt per taxpayer is $355,963 per taxpayer. Somebody better tell the government to stop spending our money. Somebody said one time that Congress spends like drunken sailors. But drunken sailors know when to quit because they run out of money. And really anymore, you don't have a lot of drunken sailors. I think they're kind of restricted on what they can do. And then you take a look at the income that we're getting in, U.S. federal tax revenue coming in is at $5 trillion. Here we're spending $39 trillion, and we're only getting in $5 trillion. Something's out of whack there. So we need to look at that. You can take a look at the fraud clock, and that's over on the right-hand side. And the fraud per taxpayer is $6,313. Yeah. Fraud. And you can take a look at all the different statistics that are here. It's all there. And if you want to take a look at gold supply and demand, there it is. And you can see what the world countries have in gold. A lot of statistics. A lot of statistics. Gold and precious metals. Well, let's see what they have here. Let's see. The U.S. has 50,970 ounces. And since 2000, the cost has gone up, or the value has gone up 19.99%. I haven't checked the current price, but I'll tell you what, it's out of my reach. I used to buy gold and silver, tiny little 10th ounce coins. And then the silver, I ended up buying the 1 ounce rounds, and I actually had a few, not a lot. And they're stored in a very secure location, away from prying eyes and fingers. And that's the way it ought to be. Wow, here's our next video. MasterCard CEO on the future of payments. Listen to this.
Been watching a sell-off of Bitcoin, digital asset prices come down. Does that sell-off, does that continued volatility in the space make you concerned about pushing deeper into stablecoins over the next few years?
There are more complicated forms of payments where you send money, remittances, cross-border payments, and here is where stablecoins are particularly good technology. We've been investing for the last decade in that. We just announced a couple months back the acquisition of BVNK, one of the largest stablecoin platforms in the world, which will position us in a world where stablecoins is just part of the fabric of the financial ecosystem. But imagine there's a choice of your preferred stablecoin and there's a choice of my preferred stablecoin, then we want to make a payment from you to me. Well, how's that going to work? The interoperability and the multiplicity of this stablecoin world needs to be handled. Cards will play a role, but stablecoins will also play a role. We're going to bring that same interoperability that we have created in cards and the same protections and security to the world of stablecoins.
You are at that point where I can have my own, say, Sazi agent out there buying things for me right now from Macy's. But as this technology only increases in innovation, in terms of development, in terms of pace, like how does that change the business of MasterCard?
Agentic commerce, as you just described it, could be an agent, could be your AI chatbot of your choice, going to help you make get much better search results, much better recommendations. So if you then choose to check out right there, whatever that AI platform is, to do what you normally do on your favorite marketplace, well, then that raises all the questions that were, unanswered in payments 20 years ago that we have answered meanwhile is what happens if something goes wrong? Is the agent actually what the agent claims to be? And does it act on your instructions or does it do something different? And if there's a misunderstanding, how do you have recourse and how do you protect it? MasterCard delivers all of that today. And we want to deliver that, and we will deliver that in the agentic world going forward, as we might all use agents to get better recommendations and purchase things. We've done that with the launch of a platform called Agent Pay. We'll now see how that paradigm shift in search will actually hit everyday life. I think we're going to see a bit of a curve where agentic, assisted agentic payments will start to be first, and eventually we'll find our path to just purely autonomous spending. You take this from the world of consumer, you could see the same thing happening between businesses. You could see agent to agent and payments being the next opportunity.
Jamie.
Yeah, and I'll tell you what. I always tell people about Bitcoin. I kind of wonder about that. It's kind of touchy. Well, here's something I want to bring out because Tom Lee is sitting on nearly $9 billion in losses as Ethereum slides lower. Remember I told you about Bitcoin and other coins? Well, this is Ethereum, and it was supposed to be a really going coin. But guess what? It dipped. Same thing with Bitcoin. So let's listen to this one.
If we want to talk about just how bad it is out there, we've talked a lot about Saylor, about the greatest hair in crypto on Wall Street, fund stress, Tom Lee, BitMines, Ethereum Betaneers, $9 billion loss as Ether falls below $1,800. It's very ugly out there for Tom Lee, who's still on TV to his credit, saying that Ethereum's going to $250,000 a coin for one of them, not for like all of them, one of them, right? But to his credit right now, you got this story. I've been saying, why didn't he do this for ages? But I was saying it when the market was good, not when it sucked. But Bitmine plans 300 million stock for ETH buyers, better than Strategy's STRC. So he's offering an STRC competitor, a preferred stock offering, but it's going to only offer 9.5%. And he's only doing 300 million. So we don't know if this will be an infinite money glitch like Saylor has attempted. Right, it's going to have a 9.5% yield, and with Ethereum, he can stake and earn 3%. So actually, the cost of capital here is probably like 6.5%, much more conservative than Saylor's 11.5%. And that may be the benefit to Ethereum, is that there is an actual built-in yield, unlike Bitcoin, which does not have one underlying. But when you see that you're down $9 million, and the answer is to borrow at 9.5% to buy more, it feels less like a treasury strategy and more like a guy at a blackjack table asking the pit boss for a marker, right?
Yep, it is. And I'll tell you what. Bitcoin is ones and zeros. And if you want to hold it, can you hold Bitcoin? No. Why? It's just electronic. It's ones and zeros. Can you spend it? In some cases, yes. What happens if somebody breaks into your wallet, your electronic wallet, and you get cleaned out overnight, and there's no way of tracing where it went? You're out all that money. So do you really want to get into fake money? It's just ones and zeros. You can't spend it at this point. So you want to get away from that type of stuff, okay? What else do we have going on today before we have to bail out of here, because we only have maybe 7 minutes to go? And what you don't see here, you can get on the webpage. Okay, let's get out of this one because I want to get back to Izzy's. This week I was down in Cincinnati again, and I had to take a friend to a hospital to get some recent surgery checked over. And we stopped at Izzy's on the way back. It's a delicatessen, and it is out of this world. They have five or six of them in the Cincinnati area. And I told him, I said, hey, I'm going to give you my business card, and what I'm going to do is tell people about Izzy's, because next time they're in Cincinnati, they're going to have to stop in and get food. They're going to have to eat somewhere. And if they like Reuben's or they have a Thanksgiving sandwich, which this one is, check out Izzy's. I always go to the one on Winton Road, and that's the Fairfield location. It's in the northern part of Cincinnati, off of I-275. And I just love going there. Everybody is so daggone nice. I've been going there for, probably 10 years. Really nice people, great food. It comes out hot. I mean, it's really good. You can check them out online. You can even order from their menu, okay? And, it's like Izzy said, come back and buy stuff. I got to pay the rent. Okay. Back when I was working in Cincinnati, Izzy was live and kicking downtown on Plum Street, down by LWTV. And he and his wife those people were putting on an act. Well, you just have to check them out. With those five locations, and the guys at Izzy's on Winton Road, they do a fantastic job, and they don't put on an act. The service is quick. The food is good. Very friendly. And they're packed at lunch, but you have to go check them out. Izzy's, okay? There, I told them I would do it, and daggone it, I'm true to my word. Okay, short-term Bitcoin holders are realizing their largest losses on record. Yeah, what did I just tell you? Don't buy cryptocurrency. It's ones and zeros. Easy to win, easy to lose. Oh, and here's an article, and we don't really have time to go into it, but the golden years are not golden. Boomers are hoarding most of America's wealth and power because they're terrified of outliving their money. Well, I'll tell you what. The golden years are golden, but they're for the doctors and hospitals. Everybody else, it's not so golden. Just ask any one of us, okay? So, are people hoarding money? A little bit. Why are they hoarding money? It's very easy. The economy. The economy is rotten. It could be much better than what it is. And I imagine by sometime this fall, it will be really good because things are bound to bounce back. More people are being hired. More things are being made. So hopefully the inflation goes down and people spend more money. But like I always tell people on this show, live beneath your means. You don't have to go to Netflix all the time. You don't have to go to the movies. Those industries will hate me for this, okay? You don't have to do it all the time. Maybe once a month. Maybe every other month. You don't have to go out and eat 5 days a week just because you don't want to do dishes, okay? You can save money by living beneath your means. You don't need a Rolls Royce. You can settle for a Ford or a Chevy, okay? You know where I'm going? So you need to check that out, okay? The article's there. It's on Money and Change, Slice Financially Prepped. Hey, guys. We are out of time. Boy, are we out of time. And we are going to be live on My World Wednesday. And hopefully I'll have some guests. We'll have some comedy. We'll have some diatribe. That's a big word. But we'll be doing that on Wednesday at 8 p.m. from 8 to 9. And we'll be live. And generally, we're live all the time on Wednesdays. So you want to check us out. Stop back next week for Money and Change at 7 p.m. right here on the Trim Radio Network, better known as trimradio.com. See ya.